Praise God. Let's pray for the offering while it's going on, and we're going to look at the word. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious offerings that people have put in, Lord. We pray, even as Lord God, that you've blessed Abraham, not only to be blessed, but to be the channel of blessing to the nations, Father God, that you bless and, Lord, called and bless and sanctify, equip every person in this church, Lord God, not only to be blessed, yes, to be blessed, but also to be a channel of blessing, O God. Channel of spiritual blessing, channel of physical, financial blessing, channel of emotional blessing, channel of your love, Father God, to all that we do, Father God. And Father, we pray that you multiply and put every dollar into good use for your kingdom, Father. And Lord, we do pray, O God, that you, Lord, provide for us a place and a space, O God, Lord God, that is right for us, O God, to occupy and to use in this place, O God. Father, we thank you for all the blessings. Lord, you see all our needs. Lord, every job, Lord God, every employment, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your blessing overtake them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We've been going through a series of the study on David, King David. And I want to conclude it, not because we've run out of it, but it's just so much more. I think we're going to take a short, well, some break, and in the time of God, we might return. We've been really whizzing through. But I want to, I guess, come back. But in conclusion, I don't want to introduce too many new concepts, but I want to sort of wrap it nicely, and I want to really share with you in terms of David's life as a man after God's own heart. I want to focus on his heart, because if we can share one thing, this is what God is looking after. Heart that was unique in David, that was different from what was in the heart of Saul and everybody else around his time, that God so chose him, and God says of him, this is a man after my own heart. And I believe it is can be said same of your life, same of the churches. What kind of spirit, what kind of heart does a church have? What kind of heart does GI have? Because not it's just the multiplication and the numbers, but it actually is about what is vibrating in the heart. What are we seeking? What are we going after as individuals, as God's people, and as a church that actually causes God's heart to reverberate and respond to us in certain way in the end time? Amen? You know, the only thing that you can take from this life, only thing, it's not your car, as you know, it's not your house, it's not even what you achieved. In the name of Jesus, it's not even your ministry, it's nothing of the reputation that you can take. You know, there are a lot of surveys and inspirational talk that talks about, like, you know, what, how would you like to be remembered? What would be your legacy? What would you have your tombstone? You know, when you really think about it, none of that matters. What people say of you does not matter. It's not something that you can take with you. There's only one thing that you can take out of your life. There's only one thing that church can carry that God sees. You know what that is? It's a testimony of God. What God says of your life. It's God's testimony of your life. It's God's reputation, God's estimation, God's evaluation of your life. It's the only thing that you take out of life, because what God says of you is who you are. That's your value. That's your core. That's what we carry for the rest of our eternity. And I love this. David, God had a testimony of David. Man's testimony may be very different from God's testimony of you, but God's testimony of David was that God said, David is a man after my own heart. And he says, I found David, son of Jesse. God says, I was looking. Second Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth, looking for a man whose heart is perfect toward God. And God found such a man. He wasn't perfect. As you can see, he made many mistakes, but his heart toward God was something that caused God to say, this man has a perfect heart. He has a heart that's going after my own heart. And he says, I found this man, son of Jesse, man after my own heart, who will do all my will. How would you like God to say of your life? God's final word, it may not be long, but God's summation of your life is that Paul or David or, you know, Peter, Jan, whoever, this man, this woman was a man after my own heart. That would be God saying of you, huh? Hallelujah. Is that what you want? Is that what we want? Would you like church, you know, GI, God looks at this congregation and says, this church, Jesus says, I will build my church. It's the work of God's own hand. It's a church that goes after my own heart. People come and people go. We've been here for 7 years. Many people came and many people left for good reasons and not so good reasons. But what we really need, what we really want is, where are we going? Where are we going? We have many, we meet people, we say hello, we say goodbyes. But where are we going? What is our heart going after? As a church, as a congregation, where are we going? Are we going after God's own heart? Because if we're going after God's own heart, God says the next sentence, he will do all my purpose, all my desire. The church that will do all God's desire is the church that goes after God's own heart. Amen? Not man's reputation. Not our own reputation. Not reputation. Not even gifts. Not even power. You know the difference between David and Saul was not in the calling. They were both called to be king. The difference between Saul and David was not in the anointing. Both were anointed by Samuel. Both had powerful spirit, anointing, gifts working in their life. What separated them was what they were pursuing, what was in their heart. The pursuit of their heart was different. That's what separates one from the other in the eyes of God. Amen? God does not look at the external but internal. God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saul. What Saul was pursuing was kingship. When God's priest, he thought, was going against his kingship, he had no problem. He would kill them all. David, after having become a king, and God giving him rest from all his enemies, God's given him riches and honor. He had a house and a palace made of cedar. David's heart could not rest. Because David's heart is saying, I want to build God a permanent dwelling place. Because David's heart address was not in his palace, big personal palace with personal wealth. His heart was in the presence of God. His heart was in the temple, in the house of God, to behold God's beauty and to inquire him. Dwell in the presence of God all the days of his life. He was pursuing God. Intimacy with God was what he was pursuing. So that made a difference. I believe it differentiates the last day Christians in the sight of God. Plenty of people are seeking to be in the house of God so that we can get blessing, more anointing, more power, more purpose, more ministry, more wealth, more reputation, successful life, influential life, which is not wrong, but if it is an end in itself, at some point your life is going to go down. Because these things are not an end in itself. These things are means. See, what David was going after was God himself. Not so that you can, plenty of people, you know that we live in two worlds, spiritual world and physical world. And it's, praise God and thank God, we learn how to step into spiritual world to bring in the blessing into the physical. But our heart address must not be so that we can get bigger palace, or whatever you can put, things that we can gain or achieve from this world. But God himself and his face is the goal that we need to behold him. That's why David's prayer, I believe this one verse, let's read it together, encapsulates what was beating in David's heart. Those one sentence, three, I guess, elements are the things that beats in David's heart continually. And it must be beating our heart as well. Amen? Let's read it together. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. He says, one thing. One thing. Is this the thing that we continually come back to in our prayer, asking God, Lord, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not so that I can get my needs fixed, so that I can go out and have fun. Let me not put any condemnation. You know, seeking God for a breakthrough and answers and blessings and healings, we need that. I'm not saying against it. But we got to also move beyond that. Our heart must take a deeper root, amen, into God. Because we will be tested. You know when you get tested most? When God blesses you the most. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's David's heart. That's David's prayer. David wanted ongoing, authentic, continual encounter with the presence of God. That was his ambition. David's number one ambition is not to take hold on to power, hold on to kingship, hold on to privileges. David's secret ambition was to continually encounter God in a new way for the rest of his life and into eternity. That's why even Psalm 23 that we love so much ends with, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Into eternity. Hallelujah. That's why Colossians, authentic Christian life, flows out of place of continual encounter with God. Amen? Amen? Continual encounter. Last year's revelation is not going to carry you through this year. When our heart ceases to encounter God, then our devotion becomes mere religion. This is what prayer, the house of prayer, is all about. This is what Tabernacle of David is all about. Because Moses' temple, I probably can't go into it, but I'll come back to the difference between the two tabernacles. What David did was that he exposed the Ark of the Covenant to the public so that everybody can come and then enter into the presence and behold God. In fact, this, what you see in the eyes of your heart, that's what determines where you're going to end up. Amen? When we get satisfied, parked in last year's or yesterday's encounter and revelation understanding because we feel we've arrived, that's the moment you and I become yesterday's man and woman. David was tomorrow's man in the training. And David became king and he was today's man. Saul was anointed. He was today's man. But very quickly he became yesterday's man. even though he had authority, the kingship was with him. For another about 13 years it lasted, but effectively 13 years before his kingship ended, he was a yesterday's man with a big job. And we don't want to fall in that category. Amen? We want to move with God. We want to walk with God. We want to journey with God deeper, because God never stays static. He moves. He moves deeper. But he moves with people whose hearts are longing, willing to move deeper with God. Amen? Moment we feel like, I've got it. I've got it all now. I've got to now teach everybody else and stop learning. You're a yesterday's man. Yesterday's woman. Hallelujah. May the Lord give us. See, that's why Colossians chapter 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth, for you died. Hello. For you died. Did you know? And your life is hidden with Christ in God. I think it's good to say it. My life, yeah. For I died. Can you say that with me? For I died. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then I will appear with him also in glory. Hallelujah. I want to look to the next phrase is, behold the beauty of the Lord. What an interesting phrase. At the time, I mean, now you've heard it. I mean, you've probably heard me saying it many times and others. But it wasn't a common phrase to say that beauty of the Lord. To see the Almighty God as beautiful. Because what was the main revelation of God at the time David was around, when God broke through Mount Sinai? Oh my goodness, people were knocking their knees and their teeth in the fear of God. The holiness of God is a frightening thing. The power of God, knowledge of God, when we encounter God in a deeper way, is a frightening thing. At the same time, you cannot take your eyes off God because he's so beautiful. David says, God is beautiful. I want to behold you, God, because you are so much more beautiful than everything else that I can lay my eyes upon the things of the earth. There's one more person who used this phrase in the Bible, in the Old Testament, before David. Do you know who that was? It was Moses. When you look at Psalm 90, Moses says, God, you know, you are from everlasting. I feel like a little ant. I feel like I'm so small and tiny. Yet I find security in you because you have been a dwelling place for man throughout generations. But with all the prayer, he says, Lord God, with your wrath, Lord, we are generations of mankind have been blasted away. We are like a little grass of the field. Because for you, one day is like 1,000. 1,000 is like one day. After all that prayer, he says, God, confirm and affirm, establish the work of our hands. He says, may the beauty of the Lord be upon your people. See, Moses encountered God's holiness. He says, show me your glory. And God passed through. He saw the glory of God like no other human being have ever encountered. What's his conclusion? After that, he's written Psalm 90. He says, God, you are beautiful. I'm scared, but I'm beautiful. I'm trembling, but I cannot keep away from you because you are beautiful beyond all our imaginations. See, when David took his eyes off the beauty of the Lord, that's when he sinned. He looked at another beauty in another human person in an illicit relationship. David wasn't perfect, but he had a heart. He had engine of the heart. He had a purpose, a direction that was set at a young age, for the rest of my life, I'm going to go this way. God, help me. Amen. That ought to be our prayer also, because this is the heart of David. This is the spirit of David that must come upon and grip God's people in the last days. Must define, defining parameter of all church activity is the love of God. It's God himself. It can't be the church. It can't be anything else. It can't be anointing even. It can't be ministry. It's got to be God. People together rise up with the heart of David. It says, look, I'm going to pursue God for the rest of my life. I'm going to get as much God as I can get. Very interesting. Haggai 2, verse 7, talks about in the last days, God will be revealed to the nations as the, help me out, what's God's title? Haggai chapter 2. Desire of all nations. Right now, Western world is imploding. Why? Uncontrolled, unbridled desire. Imploding from inside. Unbridled, unsatisfied desire. Going everywhere. Individualism. No principle. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Nations are dying because there is an unfulfilled gap and a desire that is not filled with God. Everything else is pulling human being, human spirit, human psyche to a million directions and we're being pulled apart. We don't even know who we are. So only one person who can put that back, you know, that's God. Because God is, we are created to desire. And there is nothing else, no one else, eternally more desirable than God. Amen? When we find God, we get put together, we get compacted, we know who we are. And when you know that you're desiring God, you know your spirit gets compacted. You know who you are, what you are for. You get in touch with eternity. Amen? And eternal issues. You know the significance of your life, purpose of your life is to know God and to worship God. When we don't know who you are. Am I speaking from experience? Yes. I don't know who I am because I've got million desires that are uncontrolled, pulling me into 1,000 different directions, unraveling who I am and where I'm going. Hallelujah. What does God look like? Because nations will see God as beautiful. Nations forever, forever. Can you imagine? Forever. Nations will be desiring God. They will burn with desire. In heaven, closest to the throne of God, all the 24 elders and four living creatures are burning in desire for God. It's been like that million years ago, before the world was created, and then billion years from now on. Inside, those who behold the same God who is unchanging, unlimited, are burning for the desire of God. That's why the throne of God is on fire. Hallelujah. We get bored really easily, huh? We look at something for 2-3 minutes and go, I know it all. You will never know it all about God, right? God is unchanging, unlimited. That's why 24 elders and four living creatures, full of eyes. Why do they have full of eyes? Can you imagine the six wings, this creature, seraphim, four living creatures. They've got eyes outside, eyes within. You eat something, your eyes are digesting. You walk and it's you walking on your eyes. If you step on something sharp, you're... So anyway, this creature is designed, created with capacity to see. We only get two. They've got two eyes at the back, hair, top, wings, everywhere, because they're designed to perceive the beauty of God, the glory of God. Yet at the same time, it's too much. They can't take it too much. So they, with two wings, they cover their eyes when you look at Isaiah. And they fall down. Because I love this. You know, when Corey Russell came to preach here, it's like a system overload. The light of God's glory and beauty comes out of his being and hits them. Even though they're created with so much capacity to see God, they get overloaded. All their circuits, eyes get, you know, short-circuited, and they fall down. Wow! Can't take it anymore. All the eyes shut down. Can't see anymore. I've seen you for a billion years, but I've never seen you like this. Your glory and the beauty overwhelms. I can't take it anymore. I'm stunned. And then after some time, you know, the one eye twitches and opens up. Oh, I just digested that beauty, that glory. And then over again. And then they go, holy, holy, beautiful, beautiful. They get hit again. They do this over and over and over, and they're not bored. Not bored, but they are captivated. Everything in heaven is actually around the throne. The beauty of God fuels, runs the universe. We who are outskirts on this earth in Australia, Sydney, right? You know, we can't see the beauty of God. We're looking for everything else because you and I are made. Our eyes are designed to be fascinated. You cannot repent of that desire to see something beautiful and appreciate it. And if we don't see God and appreciate the beauty of God, we'll fill it with something else. Why is there so much boredom? So much addiction? Desperately trying to fill the void and the eyes of our heart that hungers after seeing the beauty of God is unsatisfied. So unbridled desire runs over people's lives and wrecks them. That's why Apostle Paul says, you know, I pray that the God of our Father, the glory, God of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that the eyes of your understanding, literally Greek there, is eyes of your heart, will be open to see and understand what? God's beauty. Hallelujah. We gotta learn to see with eyes of our everybody has capacities to see. Amen. Say, I have capacity to see the beauty of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We all have. But Paul is praying that your eyes will be opened more. More. Appreciate. Even when, you know, when you see the sunset, you go, ah, oh. See, that's a capacity right there. Mia was looking at the cute dog, you go, ah, oh. See, that's the capacity there. It's already there. But it takes the spirit. That's why Paul again prays in terms of love of God, that God will strengthen your inner spirit so that you can comprehend something that cannot be comprehended in your mental strength. It's a spiritual eyes, it takes spiritual strength. But that's our prayer. That's Paul's prayer. That's my prayer. Lord, open our eyes. So often we want to see the physical things, and you know, we want to see the physical manifestations. But you know what really fuels your life is internal. Where you're gonna end up is what you see internally. And if you see God, that's where you're gonna end up. And David says, I want to see and behold the beauty of the Lord. all the days of my life. Why does he want to be in the temple? So that he can see God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How do we behold God? I mean, I'm not going to preach another sermon. I mean, I'm almost done. As in, not quite. Meditation in the Word of God. Amen. Prayer. Engage the Holy Spirit. Talk to him. Get quiet. Spend time with just half a chapter, passage. Let it sit on you. Come to prayer. We have, you know, Wednesday, Friday, we got prayers. You know, it's just one thing to read through, bleed through and pray while you're driving. It's another thing when you actually invest your time and sit. Lord, what are you saying? Just read a half a chapter, a chapter. What are you saying? You speak to me. Let me see you. Show me something I've never seen before. He will. He does. Because when you get word in Revelation, it's different. I'm going to have to. Do you want me to finish it? Or finish it, all right. I'm going to move. And to inquire in his temple. Let's just say inquire. Inquire God. Do you ask God for stuff? Do you ask God? Do you inquire God? Because my tendency, my problem, is that I want to fix everything and then go and report to God. God, I did this. All the problems, and I want to just fix it because, I don't know, that's how men are made. I'm kind of a fixer, right? I gotta fix it because that's tied to my identity. But David inquired God. Now, there are two different words in Hebrew for inquire, or at least two that I know. One is darash. Everybody say? Darash. The other one is bakash. Everybody say? Bakash. Okay, darash is when you inquire someone for a solution. That's darash. Bakash is when you inquire someone for fellowship, for intimacy. Not necessarily for answer. This is the difference between men and women, right? Men love darash. Bakash is a waste of time. Women, even though they have answer, they will still inquire for bakash. So you got the answer, why do you, you know, spend my time? I want to fix stuff. David inquired of God, darash, God, many times in his life, looking for direction, answers. Guess which one is used here? Darash, hand up. Bakash, hand up. Everybody, because you're reading the answer. David is saying, he's at least seven separate occasions and more. David's been continually asking God, where do I go? What do I do? He did that. But here, he's saying, that's not the end. I don't want just answer. I want God. I want deeper fellowship with God. What I want to do is I want to be in the temple. I want to inquire. I want to talk to God. I want to go deeper in God. I want to know God. I want to see God's face, not just his hands and what he can do. I think this is going to be the defining point of the last day church. God had poured out his revival, his spirit, move of God, gifts. There will be people, unfortunately, who will be seeking God's hand and then stop there. But there will be those who will move beyond seeking God's hand to fix their problems and then begin to seek God's face with extra time they have left. Because most of the time, when we pray, when we fast, when we seek, when we cry out, it's to do with our problem. We are seeking God's hand, and praise God, it's happening. But when the problem is solved, very few will come back to thank God. More than 3 seconds thanking God. To know God. Who wants to know God? Because did you know that all of us have fear of knowing God? How many felt that if you really ask God, here is my life, I want to know you, I will obey, whatever. You know, if you really open up, God will say, all right, you pack up your bag and go to Timbuktu tomorrow. I'm going to make your life miserable. You will be a missionary, you will be poor, you will be sick. And David has no such fear. It's one life. Your life, my life. We're going to suffer one way or other. True? Godly suffer, ungodly suffer. Sometimes ungodly suffer less. But they will wake up from this life called dream and wake up to reality. Righteous will suffer. Two. At times. True? That's the Bible. But where are we going to go? Where are we going to get that suffering send you? As well as blessing, goodness of God. Where are you going? Are you set your heart for journey toward God? Amen? I'm going to have to just skip the whole lot I wanted to say. But see, how many have seen someone proud in your life? That you can see that spiritual sense, that person is suffering from spiritual pride. That's his problem, but not mine. In heaven, there is no pride problem whatsoever. All the elders who've gained this golden crown, what are they doing there? Casting it down before the Lamb. Casting it down. They're not just laying it down. Lord, please take care of it. It's my trophy. They cast it down like a baseball. Why? Because they've seen God. Worthy is the Lamb. There's no one worthy but Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, died on the cross for you and me, unworthy though we are. The worthiest one had laid down his life for unworthy, so that we will be honored. How many times have you suffered? Don't put your hand up. Because we are secretly seeking glory, honor, and power, which belong to the Lord. And we can't have it. It's about seeing God clearly, because when you see God, you know who you are. Hallelujah. And we are loved. Amen. But no one's as worthy as Lord Jesus Christ. All honor, glory, and power must be given to Jesus. Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing is, before God is done, he will put his beauty upon God's people. This is promise. You can look it up. I'll put that note in the website so you can do study. God promises. The most quoted Old Testament psalm in the New Testament is Psalm 110. Talks about God's people will be arrayed in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. It's God's holiness coming upon God's people. Why? Because they learn to behold God's beauty. Hallelujah. I've got more, but I'm going to actually have to end it, because just one more point, this slide, and I'm going to end it. But you know when it all began? I think I shared this with you before. When it all began with David, because David had a man after, he was a man after God's own heart. When did it all, how come David had this magnificent concept, the drive and the goal, objective in life, the center, when everybody else seemed to have missed it? How did he get this? It's very simple. When you look at Psalm 27, there is a one verse that comes after verse 4 that actually talks about, that's the only verse that precedes David's vow, David's understanding of his goal in life. And that's when, sometime when he was young, God whispered to David. There was a crystallizing moment It was an external moment. It was an internal voice of God that came to David when he was young. You know what God said? Very simple. You can't find it in Samuel. You can only find it in Psalm 27. God said, David, three words, seek my face. And that David's heart instantly burned. God, I want to seek your face. I want to seek your face. I want to be defined, my life to be defined, confined, resolute. I'm going to be a person that seeks your face, not just hands. I want to know you. David responded, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek all the days of my life. Amen. How many heard God whispering to you? Seek my face. Let no one rob you. No one can make you small. No one can rob you of your destiny. No one can dishonor you. No one can belittle you. No one can destroy you. No, because no one can stop you from seeking God's face. Because that's who we are. Amen. I'm going to have to close here because David made a vow to build God a house. You can, just share it in your study. And it's on the internet, but I'm going to stop right here. I want us to pray. Let's pray. Because Isaiah 55, verse 3 and 4, God talks about how God will set up David like a banner, like a witness, like a testimony, like a blueprint for the leadership among God's people on the new covenant. King David's life and his heart is the focus and the end time heart of leadership of God's people who will pursue God, whose desire is not to lead primarily, foremost, not influence, not power, not numbers, but whose hidden desire is to seek God, to know God and to follow God. Why don't we pray? I'm going to just end with prayer. Why don't you pray? Ask the Lord to heart of David. Lord, give me a heart of David. If you, want to just. I believe I'm sharing something that is critical for who we are as a church. Who I am, who you are, what we call to. Father, let's just lay aside every sense of failure. I want you to be empowered. I want your heart to be empowered. I want your heart to be on fire. The fact that God touched you and said, seek my face, you've heard it from the Lord, means that God's invitation into this spirit and the heart of David for you to pursue God, for me. And in that pursuit, God forms his end time army, his church, his people, who will build and restore the fallen tents of the tabernacle of David. I will talk about that next month, what it means and how God will achieve end time harvest through this tabernacle of David that he is building. House of prayer, house of praise. It's the people. It's more than function. It's not how many hours you pray, but it's vibrant heart that says, God, you are the goal of my life. I'm going to offer you extravagant worship extravagant praise, prayer, heart that burns for you. Hallelujah. God is raising you up, not only individuals, churches across the earth. He's going to raise up pure incense to the ends of the earth, from the coming up of the sun to the going down. Hallelujah. And God's name will be glorious among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. We, as a church, overall, God's name may not be that glorious right now as we're talking about this New Zealand, and but God's name will be glorious when the pure incense is restored in His church. Hallelujah. And you and I are part of it. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. We're going to sing, yeah. We are going to sing one verse. Yeah. The first, come, build an altar. Build an altar. Lord, open our hearts in the name of Jesus. Open the eyes of us. Give us spirit of wisdom and revelation. We may see you. Hallelujah. How are you? In the name of Jesus, Father, empower our hearts, oh God. has a desire. Spirit of David, come upon this church in the name of Jesus. Every heart, set a light, set a flame in the name of Jesus. Father, let you, Lord God, you will establish your people as, Lord God, ministers of fire in the name of Jesus. Lord God, whose hearts are set to know you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father, every cold heart, Lord, will be set aflame. Every lethargy, Lord God, be shaken off in the name of Jesus. And Father, that cleanse our eyes, Father God, and keep our eyes, oh God, from looking at unworthy things, oh God, but our eyes to be open to see the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord. Revelation, spirit of revelation and spirit of wisdom, come upon your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. 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 The Lord.